Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. And an extra alleluia. I like it. There you go. The reason why I keep saying that is because alleluia is the best prayer, I believe, that we can offer during the Easter season. During this Easter season, we're reflecting on a new message series of redemption. And redemption indicates that Jesus has saved us. When someone realizes that they have been redeemed, they accept that Christ is their Savior, and they allow that saving power of God to transform their life. That's what it means to be redeemed. And the prayer Alleluia is the prayer of praise of those who have accepted their redemption, their salvation. When someone realizes that they've been redeemed, they want to pray that prayer of Alleluia. And Alleluia has a special ability to help lift our spirits up to God. Alleluia is not just a prayer for when we feel close to God or when we feel joyful. Alleluia is also, maybe even more importantly, a prayer to help lift our spirits when we feel farther away from God. There are moments when I feel frustrated, and my prayer to God is a Alleluia through gritted teeth. There are moments when I might be experiencing some kind of sadness, and it might be that the Alleluia comes through tears, like Alleluia. It doesn't matter what we're experiencing in that moment. Whatever emotion that we're experiencing at that time, if we pray that prayer Alleluia, it invites Jesus into whatever we're experiencing, and we basically ask him to save us, to deliver us, to redeem us from what it is we're experiencing in that moment, to lift our spirits up to him. And if you pray that prayer of Alleluia, you'll notice the difference, no matter what you're experiencing at that moment in your life. And just as during the Lenten season, I spoke a lot about a Lenten discipline, of how we're called to prayer, fast, and alms give, especially to give things up over to God, there's also an Easter discipline. During Easter, we're called to allow God to fill us, to realize more and more in our hearts that we have been redeemed, that we've been saved. And so Father Charlie's prayer prescription for Easter is to pray Alleluia 3 times a day at least. If you pray Alleluia at least 3 times a day during the entire Easter season, I promise you, you will naturally understand more what it means to be redeemed, to be saved, and you'll find yourself much more joyful than how you started the beginning of the Easter season. So again, prayer prescription, 3 Alleluias a day, and notice the difference of what will happen afterwards. Now, in today's gospel, we have a particular apostle that we focus on. And poor St. Thomas has been nicknamed Doubting Thomas. You might have heard that nickname for him before. And the nickname for St. Thomas the Apostle of Doubting Thomas comes from today's gospel because of how he doubted. Now, sometimes I don't think we understand enough why Thomas doubted. Thomas was still in a place of self-condemnation. Self-condemnation is when we beat ourselves up, when we haven't forgiven ourselves for something that we know that was wrong. Thomas had not yet forgiven himself for the fact that just like the other disciples, he was not with Jesus at the moment of greatest need. If you've ever been around someone and you know that you betrayed them, that you sinned against them, oftentimes there's a shame that we experience, a condemnation that we experience, and we're not really able to be around that person or to even look them in the eyes. Part of the reason why Thomas doubted is because even more than doubting that Jesus had risen from the dead, He doubted himself. He doubted that he had been redeemed, that he had truly been saved by God. Thomas was still in the tomb. He hadn't yet entered into the mystery of the resurrection. Thomas was in a place of defeat. Defeatism leads to the doubt or lack of faith that we can experience in our lives. When we feel defeated, we naturally will doubt God. If you just think of a moment in your life when you felt defeated, when you felt that God had abandoned you and wasn't present, those are the moments when doubts creep in so easily. And so it was with Thomas, that he was in that place of not having forgiven himself for betraying Jesus and still feeling defeated. Because just think, he had witnessed so many miracles. Thomas had seen Jesus heal countless people, deliver countless people from evil spirits, and yet he still betrayed him. It's one thing when someone experiences God's redemption, God's saving power in their life, and they never fall back into their old patterns. It's another thing that is so much more discouraging when we know that Christ has saved us and has redeemed us, and yet, like Thomas, we betray Jesus by sinning again, by falling back into those vices, those addictions, those temptations that we used to struggle with. Thomas did not yet truly believe that he was saved. But after this interaction with Jesus, that changed. When he placed his finger into the side of Jesus, he entered into a true belief in his own redemption, that Jesus had saved him, even though he had betrayed Jesus. He accepted Jesus's forgiveness for the ways that he sinned and had betrayed Jesus. And I invite you to look at this image of divine mercy next to me right now. Look at where Jesus's hand, right hand, is. The right hand is the blessing hand. Jesus's hand is in this posture. This is the same posture that every time I hear someone's confession, that I'm about to give them absolution and God is about to forgive them of their sins, that my hand is in that same posture. This indicates that Jesus wants to forgive us of all of our sins, that he wants to absolve us from all our sins. He wants to wash those things away. He wants us to help to understand in a deeper level of our heart that we've been saved, that we've been redeemed. Also encourage you, look at the rays that come from Jesus' heart, the white ray and the red ray that you see accentuated by the cloths on either side of the divine mercy image. The white ray especially signifies the water that flowed from the side of Jesus when his side was pierced. The red ray, the blood that flowed from Jesus' side. But the white ray also connects with the sacrament of baptism. Baptism is that sacrament when God washed us free of original sin, when we experienced that moment of salvation, of redemption. Unfortunately, sometimes it can take us a lifetime to really be able to understand what God did for us in our own baptism and how we entered into that saving mystery of redemption in our baptism. The red ray especially symbolizes the Eucharist, in particular, the blood of Christ. A lot of times a prayer that I pray when someone is struggling with a kind of addiction or with a sin pattern and they can't seem to break free of it, I pray that the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will wash over that person. Exorcists use that prayer. There's even a litany of the precious blood that has special exorcistic or deliverance properties, that when someone is struggling to accept the salvation, the redemption of Christ in their lives, that prayer of the precious blood is a very powerful one for helping someone to come to that understanding that they have been redeemed, that they have been saved. So if you ever had that place of struggling, ask that blood of Jesus to wash over you, and you'll notice how there's more freedom, how you can start to receive in a deeper place of your own heart that salvation of God. And my favorite part of the Divine Mercy image is Jesus' feet. And it might seem strange to focus on Jesus' feet, but it's maybe one of the most profound parts of the image. One foot is in front of the other. That indicates that Jesus is not passive. He doesn't wait to forgive us. He's active in coming to us, just like he came to Thomas when Thomas was doubting. Jesus wants to come to each and every single one of us to forgive us. He sees the misery, the pain, the suffering, and how we sin and go into vices and addictions from that way that we're just trying to medicate the pain that we struggle with. And he wants his mercy to be the true medicine to wash us in the way we cannot wash or cleanse ourselves. And he wants us to forgive ourselves. If, like Thomas, you struggle to accept God's forgiveness, you're again struggling with what's called a spirit of self-condemnation. Self-condemnation is one of the biggest obstacles for someone to realize that they have been redeemed, that they have been saved, that they have been forgiven by God. If you never quite feel forgiven for what you have done, that's what you're struggling with, is self-condemnation. And there's a powerful prayer to help with that. It goes like this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce a spirit of self-condemnation. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce a spirit of self-condemnation. That prayer helps to invite Jesus' salvation, redemption, to break the power of the ways that we struggle to forgive ourselves. And if you struggle with self-condemnation, today on Divine Mercy Sunday, God gives us special grace to forgive ourselves. After Mass today, the reason we have these kneelers here is because you can come before this image of the Divine Mercy and say, Jesus, I want to forgive myself. I want to stop condemning myself. I want to let you forgive me. And Jesus will do it. That's that special grace, especially on this Sunday, that he wants to give us. But he doesn't just want us to forgive ourselves. He wants us to forgive others as well. If there's someone that you're struggling to forgive today, the most pleasing gift that we can give Jesus on this Divine Mercy Sunday is forgiving someone that we've been holding back with. And again, if you're having a hard time forgiving them, encourage you after Mass, come up here, kneel, and say, Lord, I want to forgive so-and-so, but I'm really struggling to forgive them. And again, today, Jesus gives a special gift of being able to forgive others who we've been struggling to forgive. So I invite us in this Divine Mercy Sunday to realize that Jesus has redeemed us. He saved us. Let us accept that salvation, that redemption in a deeper place of our heart, to give over to God any of those ways that we doubt, and to realize just how much God wants to forgive us. So we should forgive ourselves, and we should forgive others as well. Jesus, I trust in you.